four versions of the song, and Steve wrote some art.
My hope is filled on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust how sweet His frame, but fully on Jesus' name. For Christ is solid, Christ is law. Underground is Phoenix and law. Underground is Phoenix and
when God
Let us pray. Our great and glorious Father in heaven, we are so truly blessed to be able to come together to recognize your greatness, to stand in awe of you. And Father, as we come before you, we know that we do have no other ground to stand on but the ground prepared by your Son. As we've been studying through his life, and soon we will be studying into his death. Father, we are often mystified that you would see no other way but to send him to suffer and die in such a way, other than that your love for us is so immense. We're so truly thankful that you have let him do this for us. We're thankful to him for being willing to go. Father, as we go through life, we ask that you would guide us, show us the path that we should be on, always with a ready answer for those around us, for the hope that is within us. We're thankful for this place that we can come together, for the leadership that we have. Because even in times of storm, we have a safe haven. Be with our brethren throughout the world, Father, who are suffering persecution from others. Strengthen them and encourage them. Help them to be the example that would guide others to Jesus and his sacrifice upon the tree. Be with our nation and our state, Father, that they may seek your counsel in the decisions they make, not being too proud to bend an ear to your word. Because, Father, we know your words are the words of life. Help us to always seek your ways. And please be merciful upon us in the times that we fail. And forgive us of our sins when we repent. We ask this in your Son's most holy and blessed name. Amen.
I had it open. Michael, what was the first number again? The first number. Thank you. I was almost there. No, I'm sorry. That's the invitation song. The first song. 378. Thank you. I had it open and closed it right as I started to get up there. A few thoughts before we dismiss this evening. We just sang this song, The Solid Rock. And we're singing about how we don't lean on anybody else besides Jesus. We look to him for our strength. So ironic that we sing that right after we have this lesson of how much burden he took on himself, how much degradation he took, how much beating and weariness that he had in the flesh. And yet we're told to lean on him, and he has that strength to carry us through of the less than difficult trial that he went through, but we lean on him. Verse 2 talked about, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil of being within Christ. He supports us in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope at stake. So we're singing that song about how steadying of a force that Jesus is. And the point of that is he is the rock. And so we can anchor ourselves on the rock and stay firm. You know, I would ask you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. And what I wanted to talk briefly about for a moment tonight is, I believe it's pretty obvious to everyone that we do not live in a very calm and reassuring time at the moment. I believe it's probably been worse in some ways. In other ways, it's not been worse. I think our country is as corrupt, and I think it is as sinful as it's probably ever been in our country. I'm not sure that that necessarily compares yet with other nations that have fallen, because God hasn't taken us down. But I do think he is reprimanding us and reminding us of the unrighteousness that will not be sustained and tolerated for a long time. And we go through problems like we're dealing with right now: high gas prices, persecution of at least ideas, if not us personally. It's an onslaught of trying to say anything about the truth. Very similarly, when Jesus spoke about the truth and he received vehement responses, we get that too. You put truth out there on your Facebook page or on Instagram or whatever else that you use, you will get vitriol. You know, Elon Musk has made it pretty clear, and he's worldly minded, and yet he's talking about Twitter and how it's not genuine, it's not embracing the truth, and that's what he wants to see. Well, he doesn't even know what the truth actually is. If you say real truth, I'm not sure he would even be all that happy with it. Habakkuk faced a similar situation, and I think we can see that. And this is just one example that I want to use tonight. I don't plan to read a lot out of Habakkuk. Bear with me to think about the setup for this, though. The verse 1 of Habakkuk 1 says that what Habakkuk had to deal with was a burden. What he was seeing and having to address before the Lord for his people was a burden that Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment never goes forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Brethren, is there a much better description of the way you feel when you watch the news, when you read the current events? Does that describe it pretty well? I think Habakkuk was dealing with very similar things. I come away feeling the same way. Where is judgment? Look at the violence. Look at the strife. Everyone is in contention with one another. Habakkuk faced all of that. So he lays out before the Lord, and of course he says, how long will I cry and you won't hear? And meaning that God has not responded in the time frame that he thought he should. He's not responding when he thought God would have responded to the injustices that are all around him. But he's not blaming God. He's talking about his own impatience with the difficulties that he sees round about him. The law is always slack. The righteous cannot pursue and be successful in this environment. And so in verse 5, God begins to answer. And that's the only verse I'm going to read right here because he goes on with the solution that he's going to offer. But he says in verse 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you shall not believe, though it be told you. You're not going to believe the solution I have for this. Even if I told you, you wouldn't accept it as that's what's going to work. And then he goes on to tell him what he's going to do. And we won't read that part right now. If you're interested, I hope you are. Read through that and see what he has in mind. But the solution that he offers, Habakkuk can barely recognize. He doesn't really comprehend how that's going to work. And he doesn't really see the justice in it until God explains a little further. So read through that and hear the question that Habakkuk asks after that. But when he asks that question again, how is that going to solve this? And how is that better than what we've got? And he says, but I'm going to stand back and let the Lord answer me. And then in chapter 2, verses 14 and verse 20, God tells him these are the nutshell moments in all of that answer in chapter 2. These are the nutshells of what God is intending for Habakkuk to take with him to teach to the people. Verse 14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, there's more sea than land, right? So as the waters cover the sea, as thoroughly as that it is deep and wide and covering the earth, the glory of the Lord will be known to that kind of degree. And then finally in verse 20, he concludes again, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him, including you, Habakkuk. These questions you have, these concerns you have, you don't see the big picture, but I'm telling you, when I do what I've told you I'm going to do, whether you understand it or not, the earth will be filled with my glory. And you know and teach and share that the Lord is in his holy temple and all the earth should keep silence before him and watch God unfold these solutions. We can't guess what it would be. We won't understand how it could be that. It will be more marvelous than we can imagine. In the end, no matter what the concerns were, no matter how bad the situation was for Habakkuk, he was told to rely on faith that the glory of the Lord would be known, it would fill the earth, and the basis for that is that he should know the Lord is in his holy temple. He's not forgotten. He's not hearing. He's not answering. He's in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him and wait on the Lord. That is not an unusual response. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Earlier in the ministry than what we've been studying recently, and we did go through this, but in the middle of Jesus' ministry, in Luke chapter 13, there were a group of people that came to Jesus and talked about a very difficult and bad time that was going on. And he said to those that were present at that season, some of them told them of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This is terrible. The violence is all around us. And Pilate can't be stopped. He feels like he can do anything he wants to do. He took this righteous thing with the Galileans and he mixed their blood with the sacrifices, which would have degraded the sacrifices, not to mention cost the lives of Galileans who were trying to worship God. What are you going to do about that, Jesus? You got the power of God. We're following you to hear the truth. Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners? Above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he brings up his own. Hey, you didn't even tell me about this one, but I know about it. The 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Do you think they were sinners above all that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus' comfort to them was not that Pilate was going to stop what he was doing. Not that accidents wouldn't continue to happen and then kill people. Prepare yourself in case you're caught in the same situation so that you won't perish. If the body is killed, that your soul doesn't go away into eternal damnation. Repent, or you will all likewise perish. You'll suffer these violent things and you'll be lost for eternity too. See, whatever the terrible circumstances were in the world that somebody came to him with, it was like God answering Habakkuk before. The purpose of the answer was not to satisfy us that God is going to stop all the violence. And he's not going to stop all the injustice. Because that's what sinful man does. And the only choice that he would have to do that would be to cleanse the earth with a flood. And he already promised he wouldn't do that. And so the next thing is to endure it, find a way to rise above it, and be faithful to God. Repent and prepare yourself so that even if something terrible like this happens to you, you will be saved and not lost and perish forever. There were also opportunities sometimes on a very personal level that things didn't seem good and yet Jesus knew it had to be handled a certain way. Look back at the previous chapter in Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and beginning in verse 13. One of the company that was teaching, he was teaching and following him around, one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. We've got family that's passed away and they've left goods on the earth that need to be divvied up and I'm not getting my share. It's injustice that I'm not receiving what I should get. Please go tell my brother. They'll listen to you. You're the master. You're the teacher." That's how he started, right? "Master, speak to my brother. Use that authority and settle that for me. That's an injustice and I need it corrected and you're the one to do it." Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possess." Then he told a parable about a man who had great possessions. And when that man focused only on the possessions and he didn't prepare himself for eternity, that soul was lost. It was taken from him and he died unprepared. So is he, verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The answer was not for him to go through and get his brother or relative, other relative, to give him this inheritance so that he could have his equal share and the injustice would be removed. It was to not desire physical things, but to be more concerned about making sure his life was right before the Lord. To make sure his treasure was to serve God. And if his circumstance didn't allow some physical thing that he thought he was due, to put that aside. Because the physical things, the accumulation of wealth, the tallying of goods, the value of a human life, does not equate to what a man's value in life ought to be. His value in life ought to be what he treasures, serving God and be rich toward God in his service, in his attitude, in his understanding. So you see, on the large scale, a national scale, a local community, or an individual, Jesus' solution to these crises, these injustices, the violence and the lack of judgment, is for them to prepare themselves to meet God in judgment. Prepare themselves to be righteous before the Lord and to treasure what is truly worth everything in life. Just a little bit later, a summary statement in Luke chapter 12, verse 31, as Jesus began to apply what he was trying to teach them there. In verse 31, he says, "Seek rather the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he was talking about just the basics of life, the necessities, not necessarily the inheritance and the gaining of great wealth on the earth. But seek first the kingdom of God. That's something we hold on to. That is a proactive step that we take, to seek first the kingdom of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon talking about all kinds of circumstances in life, that some worked to his favor and some didn't, it seemed, in life. But the conclusion was that if you didn't serve God and if you didn't have a working relationship with him that was pleasing to the Lord and produce righteousness in your life, that it was vanity. It was emptiness because it didn't end in anything well. So he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Everything we've been talking about here tonight. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Make sure you get everything that you can get. Tally up. No. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. I can't get my point across on Facebook. Every time I try to say something true out there, they just attack me. Fear God, keep His commandments. Finally, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, and we'll turn there just briefly since we're in the New Testament probably. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When I don't have justice, when I don't think that my voice is heard, even when I'm trying to do what is right, when I see violence and corruption all around me, what do? Take that stand. Not openly without protection, but with the whole armor of God. But when I've got the armor of God, stand. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Seek first His kingdom. And He tells us how to protect ourselves with the various implements of God's Word and His power that He shared with us to be faithful to Him. So, be proactive in seeking His Word, seeking His kingdom. Be reactive in the right way by fearing God and keeping His commandments, Ecclesiastes 12, and be prepared, Ephesians chapter 6, and take that stand. Brethren, I tell you this lesson because it just occurred to me that these are the answers to how we get through the difficult problems we have right now. Gas is so high, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay to make it to services every Sunday and come back to Bible study. That's a lot. And you know, my salary isn't going as far as it used to, and I can't talk about anything at work, and they're promoting lifestyles at work, even especially this month, that I can't accept, and every time you say something about it, you get attacked. You might lose your job over it. Seek His kingdom first. Don't think that the Lord's not hearing. Know that the earth will be filled with His glory. The God we pray to and we ask for salvation and for strength, and for the fulfillment of our faith, to maintain it, as Steve just prayed a few moments ago, to keep us faithful, to keep us strong within the Lord. That Lord is hearing us. He's in His holy temple. And when it comes to our questions and our doubts, let all the earth keep silence before Him. Seek His kingdom. Fear our God. Keep His commandments. And take a stand with the whole armor of God. That's how you get through times like this. So as a child of God who is, everyone in the room is a child of God tonight. So I don't offer an invitation to be baptized. We've all done that. But we all struggle with these things. And I think younger people, younger folks that don't have a lot of experience yet in trusting their faith, need to hear this. And that's why I wanted to share it with you tonight. That's what the Lord expected of Habakkuk. That's what the Lord expected of those people that were following around to hear the message. That's what the Lord expected of that man who thought he was receiving a personal injustice by his own family. Seek God. Fear God. Keep His commandments. And take a stand with the whole armor of God. And that will keep us strong. That will keep us safe. And that will keep us prepared. Treasuring the proper right things so that we can be saved if we were to face a trial like this. If one of these trials in our country goes far enough to even take our own life. That we leave this world prepared. Not relying and leaning on it, but leaning on Jesus, our rock that we sang about earlier. If you need to respond to the gospel tonight to restore your faith, to strengthen your faith, if you just want to let us know that you're struggling with some of these very things, and you just like the prayers of the congregation, this is an opportunity for you to let us know that. And we ask you to come forward as we're going to stand and sing. But otherwise, if you don't do that tonight, talk to your brethren. Call the elders. Talk to each other. Share these doubts and these fears so that we can help strengthen you. But these are the answers that I can give, and I encourage each one of us to give to you too. To remember what the Lord said, we can't fix everything in the world. We can fix us. And He's done that with salvation. Let's take that stand and hold that salvation fast until the end. Come forward now as we stand and sing, if you'd like our prayers.
There's a fountain free just for you and me. Let us taste of His truest spring. Tis a fount of love from the source of love, and He gives us all freely free. Will you call to the fountain free? Will you call it is for you and me? There's peace for soul in the welcome hall. Tis the fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal clear from the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll at the weary soul, hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you go on to the mountain free? Will you go on? It's for you and me. Thirsty souls, hear the welcome call. There's a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's flat, and the soul is glad, and may God its pure water share. Tis for you and me, and this stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you call on to the fountain free? Will you call on? Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. Tis a fountain open for all.
Nobody came forward. Nobody asked for prayers tonight. But I doubt that there's anybody in the room who doesn't have some fear, some concern, some just interest in what's going on around us in the future. So I'll be praying for you tonight. I want specifically to ask you to pray for me. That I live what I said tonight, what I talked about. And if we all make that, put our life into this. And sometimes it's hard to come forward even to people we know and love and know so well. I ask for that kind of thing. But you get it. You're going to get it because I'm going to pray. And I know others will pray too. And I want you to pray for me and my family that we stay strong and faithful like I was described. And so I'm not getting on you about that. I hope you understand. Sometimes I know it's hard to step out and make a positive effect. But seek those prayers and talk to each other and let's encourage one another. We've got some really difficult times ahead of us. And the Lord will.
Good to have to take the direction of support and return. Definitely see it all around us here today without seeing anything like that. And we don't watch it. So very well. Remember those that we remember all our sick folks, especially Brother Chris, those we sure remember him as well as thankful for bringing his progress right now to his best as well. Is there anything else we need to mention this evening before we do some prayer? Not simply just some prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with humility and understanding and with the mercy that you've given to us that we can have this connection to you. We thank you for the building you've given to us that we can come together and that we can have brethren that we can be together and encourage each other, especially as the world around us gets even stranger. We thank you for the ability you've given to us to come to you in prayer and the peace that it gives us, that we can go directly to your, to you for our problems. We also thank you for the brethren we have, that we can come to our problems if it needs be, that we need more emotional help or physical help around us. We ask that you help us to be encouraging to each other and leave our mark carefully on the world. We ask that you help us to let you shine through us and be the light in the world that we desperately need. We ask that you help with our own personal problems and that we have patience and wisdom. We ask that you help to guide our leaders, and we take comfort in knowing that you're in control. We ask that you continue to keep us safe. We thank you for the word you've given to us and the promise that it brings. We thank you for the sacrifice that you gave to us as Jesus dying on the cross for us, so we can have that promise and that comfort to know that this is not the end. This is not our home. We say all these things in your Son's name. We pray. Amen.